From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Shoftim, Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 21, 9. Parshat Shoftim means judges. And this is the section of the Torah that most fully discusses what it means to set up what we call today a country and a government. And one of the things you have to do, instead of just commanding people not to commit murder, you have to decide on what to do when someone kills another person. We've discussed that before a few weeks ago on the podcast. We skipped the long possible discussion of it at the end of the book of Numbers this year, but now in Deuteronomy 19, which we did mention a few weeks ago, I want to return to that subject. When the Lord your God has cut down the nations whose land the Lord your God is assigning to you, and you have dispossessed them and settled in their towns and homes, you shall set aside three cities in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall survey the distances and divide into three parts the territory of the country that the Lord your God has allotted to you, so that any manslayer may have a place to flee to. Now this is the case of the manslayer who may flee there and live, one who has killed another unwittingly, without having been his enemy in the past. For instance, a man goes with his neighbor into a grove to cut wood. As his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, the axe head flies off the handle. I guess that's where that English expression comes from. The axe head flies off the handle and strikes the other so that he dies. That man shall flee to one of these cities and live. Otherwise, when the distance is great, the blood avenger, pursuing the manslayer in hot anger, may overtake him and kill him. Yet he did not incur the death penalty, since he had never been the other's enemy. That is why I command you, set aside three cities. And when the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you all the land that he promised to give your fathers, if you faithfully observe all this instruction that I enjoin upon you this day, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways at all times, then you shall add three more towns to those three. Thus blood of the innocent will not be shed, bringing blood guilt upon you in the land that the Lord your God is allotting to you. So before we go on to discuss some of the commentaries, medieval and modern, on this section, I want to point out this is still talking about cities that you can flee to and you are safe if you do so, rather than simply putting you on trial, which is already discussed in the book of Numbers, that you have to be tried for your crime to see whether you really did intend to kill the person or not. I'm going to point out also that verses 4 and 5 are set off in the JPS translation by dashes, and that's always a sign that they are telling you this is an insertion, and if you take it out, you will see that the rest of the text flows a little bit more smoothly. And I will let you do that on your own by looking at the handout this week. First, let's turn to Rashi's comment on verse 8, when the Lord your God enlarges your territory as he swore to your fathers. What's that all about? To give you the land of the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, if you faithfully observe all this instruction. That's a quotation from verse 9, but who are the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites? Rashi's grandson Rashbam explains, when the Lord God enlarges your territory by giving you the territory of all 10 of the nations he promised to Abraham in Genesis 15. If you go back to Genesis 15, the famous covenant between the pieces, the land of 10 nations is promised to Abraham there, whereas we know from reading Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, the people that actually fled before the Israelites or were defeated by the Israelites in the conquest of Canaan, according to Deuteronomy 7:1, the seven nations of Canaan. So 10 minus 7 leaves 3, and that's a future stage of the expansion of Israel, according to the book of Deuteronomy here in chapter 19. But Abraham ibn Ezra throws a little wrench into the works by pointing out, because he knows Hebrew, and if you don't know Hebrew, you're not going to get what he's about to say. Verse 9 does not say, when the Lord your God enlarges your territory. If verse 1 says, when the Lord your God has cut down the nations whose land the Lord your God is assigning to you, because verse 1 begins with the word ki, but verse 8 begins with the word im, not when, but, as Ibn Ezra points out, if he does so, as the old JPS translation has it, which is conditional on the behavior described in verse 9, again between dashes, if you faithfully observe all this instruction that I enjoin upon you this day, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways at all times. And if your ear is tuned to the biblical voices, you know perfectly well that that is a very, very Deuteronomic phrase, whereas the rest of this section is not necessarily so full of Deuteronomic language. Let's return, however, to the subject that got us started on this topic a few weeks ago back in Parshat Va'etchanan, Deuteronomy 4, 41 through 43. Moses set aside three cities on the east side of the Jordan. If you remember the podcast from that week, Moses set aside three cities across the Jordan, meaning on the east side, but from the west side perspective, to which a manslayer could escape: Bezer, Ramot, and Golan. And Don Isaac Barbanel, the great questioner of the Torah, in order to tell you the what he's questions he's going to answer in his commentary, says about Deuteronomy 4, 41 through 43, what is the story about Moses setting aside three cities of refuge doing here? It's a most unsuitable location to bring this up. And if you remember the podcast, you remember that the 20th century commentators, as well as 12th century commentator Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, all said it is there to break off the first part of the book of Deuteronomy, what modern scholars call Moses' first discourse, before in chapter 5, at the beginning of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, Moses finally gets around to doing what he says he will do in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5, to expound the Torah, or rather the Torah says there that he will do it, and he finally begins to do it starting in chapter 5. Here's Bernie Levinson on our chapter 19, Cities of Refuge. Under the old system of clan justice, the kin of a homicide victim assumed the burden of killing the slayer to avenge the death. The literary model for the law, like many of Deuteronomy's laws, may be found in the Book of the Covenant. That's in Exodus 21, 12 through 13. Deuteronomy retains the local setting of the law, but secularizes the site of refuge. No longer an altar, but three neutral cities are designated to fill the void. Jeff Teague says in the JPS Torah commentary, laws about asylum appear twice earlier in the Torah, each time with a different emphasis. Exodus 21:13 through 14 establishes the distinction between accidental and intentional killing. Numbers 35:9 through 34 fleshes out the law and identifies the places of refuge as six Levitical cities. Deuteronomy's main focus is the complementary principle that the innocent not be wrongly executed. Asylum cities are mentioned again in Joshua 20, which tells how the six cities were chosen and briefly describes their function, combining details from Numbers and Deuteronomy, and contradicting, although this is not Tige saying it anymore, contradicting what Deuteronomy 4 told us about Moses assigning the three cities across the Jordan on the east bank where the 2.5 tribes will remain. What's making this text so complicated is that a number of important things are converging. Number one, criminal law. Number two, updating earlier laws and yet incorporating those updated text in the text of the Torah. Number three, variant stories about who said what when. And number four, lots of much later ideological perspectives that the different commentators, ancient and modern, are trying to incorporate. So here is Nachmanides, the 13th century Spanish commentator, on the phrase, you shall set aside three cities, saying what he says quite often about the book of Deuteronomy. This is further clarification of a commandment that has already been given. According to verse 1, the Israelites are not obligated to fulfill this commandment until they have conquered the land and settled it. That's in fact what happened. See Joshua 20. Chizkuni says to verse 3, in the phrase, divide into three parts the territory of the country, it was 100 leagues from the southern border to Hebron. He's going from south to north. 100 leagues from the southern border to Hebron, 100 more to Shechem, where Nablus is today, 100 more to Kadesh, that's up in Lebanon, if I'm not mistaken, and 100 more from there to the northern border. Now imagine if you had to travel 100 leagues, 300 miles or so from Hebron to Shechem, the distance, so half of that distance, 150 miles, if you killed someone accidentally, you had 150 miles to go before you were safe. It doesn't sound too plausible that you are going to make it. Here's Gersonides on that same question. The country is to be divided into three equal parts with a city of refuge centrally located in each. That's more or less what Chizkuni is describing. Rashi, on the verse 9, you shall add three more towns to those three. Rashi says that makes a total of nine. Three east of the Jordan, those are the ones that Moses designated in chapter 4. Three in Canaan, and now in verse 9, three more that are to be added when the territory gets even bigger, or, accepting Ibn Ezra's correction of the English, if the territory gets even bigger. Says Gersonides, since God's promise in 1 Kings 11:39 that he will chastise David's descendants but not forever, has still not been fulfilled. This is Gersonides writing in the 14th century. Since that promise from 1 Kings 11:39 has still not been fulfilled, it is clear that this verse is speaking about the far future. In the words of Daniel 12:12, Happy the one who waits and reaches that time. If you know your book of Daniel, you know that Daniel 12 is promising a happy future for Israel and giving a certain calculation to tell you when it's going to come, and then it obviously didn't come, like so many of the calculations that people have been giving in our own times. And it said, happy the one who waits and reaches the new calculation that I'm about to make. Gersonides says, don't hold your breath. We're talking about the far, far future. I am not a lawyer or a scholar of American law, but I don't think the laws about murder deal with eschatology the way, according to Gersonides, and yes, according to Deuteronomy chapter 19, apparently they do, in that far future, when the Israelites faithfully observe all this instruction, this Torah, when you see capital I instruction in the JPS translation, that's the Torah. When you faithfully observe all the instruction that I enjoin upon you this day to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways at all times, amazingly enough, that is not a messianic era in which all crime disappears, but there will still be inadvertent killing, accidental killing, to which the killers will still have to find a city of refuge to flee to in order not to be killed by a blood avenger. That's not how most of us assume the end times are going to work, but apparently that is how the book of Deuteronomy assumed it. I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Ki Tetzeh. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.